Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. There were May Day rallies around the world today. In Germany, unions taking aim at corporate greed. In Bangladesh, garment factory employees called for better working conditions. Hundreds of thousands of people rallied around the world for May Day, with protests in Switzerland, Sweden, Turkey, and Chile turning violent on the traditional workers' holiday. In Turkey, police fired pepper spray and tear gas to disperse demonstrators denouncing the International Monetary Fund and the U.S. And by the hundreds of thousands, crowds of mostly Hispanic immigrants filled the streets of America this May Day. Protests held in New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, and other U.S. cities as part of the nationwide protest and boycott. Marchers rallied around Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. In L.A., police had to close off a major intersection because of the massive crowds. Police were saying that people marching in Milwaukee were holding banners reading "Open the Doors to Citizenship." In Chicago, 300,000 demonstrators turned out. Protesters made human chains in Phoenix and in New York City. Thousands of Mexican union members south of the border showed their support for migrants in the U.S. They declared a boycott of American goods. It was another day without a verdict at the death penalty trial of Zacharias Moussaoui. The jurors have now logged more than 28 hours in the last week trying to decide whether he should be executed or sentenced to life in prison. Once again, the jurors did not ask any questions or make requests of the court. The nine men and three women are using a 42-page verdict form as their guide to deciding Moussaoui's sentence. Rush Limbaugh says he hasn't even craved a painkiller since he left rehab. On his radio show today, the conservative commentator insists prosecutors never did have a good criminal case against him. He made a deal with a prosecutor in Palm Beach County, Florida, Limbaugh pleading not guilty to a single charge of hopping from doctor to doctor to obtain several dozen pills illegally. If he complies with the provisions of the agreement that include random drug tests and continued drug treatment, the charge could be dropped in 18 months. George Bush has been given an update on Iraq by his top defense and foreign policy people just back from their visit to Baghdad. Bush says the report from Donald Rumsfeld and Condi Rice show Iraq's new government's more determined than ever to succeed, but he also says it's clear there will be more tough days ahead. This is Air America Radio News.
Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. I'm Peter Werby, sitting in for Mike. Don't it rock. Hey, Peter Werby here on the Mike Malloy Show. Thanks for joining me. Mike's off today, flying back to Atlanta from San Francisco, where he took part out in Sacramento, a little bit to the east of the California Democratic Convention. And I'm going to let him tell you all about it. I got him on the plane on his cell phone. Mike Malloy on a plane on a cell phone. Wow. But, you know, things change. People change. And he had a wonderful time and a wonderful response all the more. That was, by the way, Solidarity Rocks, titled Cut, off a CD of the same name put out by the steelworkers. And they mentioned steelworkers in there. But really, it's something for all of us because solidarity does rock. And what a weekend it's been. Saturday, an enormous 350,000 anti-war demonstration. People out for that one. I was there. My wife and I went there. And, man, I'll tell you. 350,000 people marching down Broadway really sends you upwards. Then on Sunday, thousands and thousands of people out for Darfur saying something has to be done. And today, I mean, it's like the mother of all demonstrations or something like that. I mean, could it have been, I'm trying to think, was what happened today even bigger than the anti-war demonstrations that happened on February 15th, 2003? Well, you know, to me, I run into a lot of people saying, well, it's not about us. I mean, sometimes that's even the best that we're getting, let alone people who should know better invoke what I call the politics of resentment. And they're saying, well, you know, why are they flying the Mexican flag? Why, you know, they're illegal, you know, all that stuff. Why don't they go back? We ought to round them all up. I mean, we're not talking about these arch conservatives. That's, you know, we expect that from them. But people who should know better. That solidarity rocks. And this is May Day. This is an international workers' holiday. And we can begin to reclaim it now that the Soviet Union's gone. Remember, I mean, what had happened? Of course, it had been co-opted by these Stalinist police states. And what had begun as a celebration of the working people of the world had been transformed into some military parade on May Day across the world. Well, we don't want any part of that. At least I don't. Hope you don't either. And yet what we are beginning to see again, and you heard the many of you heard the Air America news reports, is there, as usually is, demonstrations all across the world to put forth, on one hand, the furthering of working class demands, which means about what? About 85% of us across the world. Across the world, it could be about 90 or 95% of us. And the idea that we've been struggling for basic elemental human rights as workers. It doesn't matter whether you're wearing a white collar or a blue collar or whatever. Most of us are workers. Now, I'm not going to, you know, get down on the individual small entrepreneur. I know a number of men and women that are involved in, well I can't remember. They have a little phrase for it, kind of coming from Buddhist stuff. Right livelihood. That's it. That people that actually try to do the best by their employees, try to be the best they can towards their employees, you know, give them the most they can and still reward themselves in a way commensurate with what they're doing. I don't want to get off into entrepreneurship because those guys are almost footnotes. What we've had to do since the beginning of wage labor is to fight tooth and nail to be treated like human beings. To get a decent wage, to only work one-third of the day instead of half the day or even more, to get days off, to stop our children 8 and 9 years old from being forced into factories, to have rudimentary safety and health considerations, to have retirement and pension benefits, to have health benefits. Now, as I'm ticking those off, I'm sure a lot of you, hopefully all of you, are thinking, now, we haven't attained all of that, have we? We haven't by a long shot. International Workers' Day, May Day, commemorates an 1886 incident called the Haymarket Affair. I don't want to get into a big historical thing. A lot of you, again, know about this. But these were men and women. They were protesting in 1886 for the eight-hour day. Think how many of our days have left that way behind and how many people across the world, eight-hour day, that would be like a dream for them. Well, in 1886, the police opened fire on workers in Chicago. The next day, there was more violence. A bomb was thrown into the ranks of the police. The police began shooting. They shot down their own fellow officers. They shot down officers, or workers as well. And since no one could figure out who threw the bomb, they singled out a group of workers. Oh, see, I'm forgetting all this already. I mean, five, maybe six, and sentenced them all to be hung. No one even alleged that they threw the bomb or plotted to do it, but rather they were the leaders of the unions in Chicago at that time demanding the eight-hour day. They were hung. They were hung. And does anybody have those words of Louis Lynch? Looks like Ling, L-I-N-G-G, say, you strangle these voices today. Very, very poignant. So the struggle of all of us to attain a decent standard of living, and ultimately, isn't that what it's all about? And solidarity rocks, and we don't have enough of it. The ruling class does, the employing class, the elite, the people that control our economic lives and health, and hence our cultural lives, they have that class solidarity. As the ultra-rich, they hang together. I mean, they get into competitive little fights once in a while, and they engender wars between different countries because the ruling elites of different countries want a little bit of this or a little bit of that that the other country has. But they have class solidarity. They know what their class interests are. They're always involved in class warfare. You know, the Democrats, they get real scared whenever the Republicans say, you're asking for a dime an hour more for the minimum wage. That's class warfare. And they go, oh, no. Well, on this day, on May Day, that I've fortunate enough to broadcast on the Mike Malloy Show, we should be looking exactly at that class warfare. Now, I'm not talking about guns. I'm not talking about violence because that's the last thing in the world we want to do. There is enough of that in the world. We want a peaceful world. Yet, economic struggle, direct action, everything else that we know that can bring about a world in which there's some justice, there's some equality. That's what we want. That's what we need. And that's what the immigrants were out there today doing. They, what was the name of their day? It was Un Dia Sin Inmigrantes. Un Dia Sin Inmigrantes. A day without immigrants. And they're saying on the news, a million immigrants were out there. Man, I think there was probably 2 million out in Los Angeles alone. And I think most of you have seen the news, but things just closed down. The factories, particularly these meat processing factories, just had to shut down all sorts of restaurants. And, you know, it was about a couple of things. What engendered all this was the Republican bill that would make felons out of these immigrants. And that, I think, was the key, because what people, human beings, are fellow human beings, and to me, it doesn't matter a whit where they come from at all, because I feel so much solidarity with them as opposed to the George Bushes and the rest of his boys, his posse, that I can't even begin to express it. But they were insulted as human beings, and they wanted to stand up and said, like Jesse Jackson, remember he used to do that, when was that, in the 70s? I am somebody. I am somebody. Millions of people saying that, and that should act as a model for us. A general strike, what it really should have been was Un Dia Sin Todos, a day without any of us. It's okay on May Day to call for a general strike, isn't it? I'm Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. We'll be right back after these.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Worthy, sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Well, thank you very much, Mike Malloy. And as I said, Mike Malloy winging his way back from California, where he was just a hit out there. Apparently, He was at the California Democratic Convention, but even more importantly, he hosted an impeachment forum with Maxine Waters and who else was there? Anyways, there was a sold-out crowd. I don't think you had to pay to get in. Maybe you did, but there was about 1,000 people out there, and it was put on by the State Democratic Progressive Caucus. So Mike will be telling you all about that tomorrow when he returns. I'm Peter Werbe, sitting in for Mike. And if you want to email me, I know some of you must know it already because I'm starting to get emails from you. CallTalkYes@yahoo.com. CallTalkYes@yahoo.com. At 34 minutes after the hour, when we come back from that break, I'm going to be playing this song that's absolutely, if this doesn't send the BCF over the edge, you know, I've taken Mike's Bush crime family and on my Detroit show just reduced it to initials, the BCF, right, the Bush crime family. If this doesn't send the BCF over, I don't know what will musically. Of course, maybe it will be the brand new song or album from Neil Young. It's called, I have to write this down. I mean, I think that's why a lot of people on their shows have Living with War. I got it before I got the paper. It was in my brain. I picked it out. And he has a song called Impeach the President, Neil Young's Impeach the President. So with all this music hitting, and then Madonna, I can't even barely repeat, even give you an idea of what she said. She said, you can go to Texas and, nah, I can't even say it. Here, you can see it all, actually. I'm ahead of myself. At 34 minutes after the hour, we're going to be playing a song called Dear Mr. President by Pink and the Indigo Girls. Pink is a pop singer, but this video and the audio are just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. You can go to my website and you can download. I don't think you can download it. You can listen to the whole Neil Young album, Living with War, and the cut, Impeach the President. You can see the video and hear the audio from Pink and the Indigo Girls, Dear Mr. President, and you can read what Madonna said people can go to Texas and do. It's peterwerbe.com, P-E-T-E-R-W-E-R-B-E, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerbe.com. And we'll be playing the Pink song, though, coming right up. Let me see. I should get this out of the way right now. The editor of TVNewsLies.org, TVNewsLies.org, Jesse, is going to be conducting a live presentation entitled American Corporate News Media, America's Number One Enemy, The Media and 9/11. It's going to be in, hope they had a good time at it yesterday. Sorry, guy. I was going to do it for you. How about this? This is, of course, the 3-year anniversary of Mission Accomplished. Remember that? I mean, in many ways, that was Bush's downfall. That ludicrous stunt where he flew onto the USS Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, the aircraft carrier, that they actually had to make go slowly or it would have arrived in San Diego. Remember all this stage-managed stuff just all to fool us? And what was the cost of it? He jumps out with his flight suit, and people thought he had maybe a little something stuffed down under there to make him really look macho. Well, that's it. It's 3 years, mission accomplished, and what do we have? This nightmare, this slaughter, this mountain of corpses, thanks to George W. Bush. And, you know, it's not Rumsfeld. It's not Cheney. I mean, all the rest of them are war criminals and ought to be frog-marched out of the White House and into The Hague and tried for war crimes, crimes against peace, as it's called internationally. But ultimately, it's George W. Bush. The buck stops there. And since we're doing initials like BCF, the Bush crime family, how about ITMFA? ITMFA. That's the most I can say on the air because I want to keep Air America on the air. I want to have Air America keep its affiliates, and I want Air America to continue. So I'll just say that this is a slogan that's beginning to really get some traction. ITMFA, you go to ITMFA.com, I believe, or again, my website. It's right at the top there. The other little deal that you just can't even imagine exists is that Josh Bolton, he's the brand new chief of staff. He's shaking things up. Things are really different with the BCF now that Josh is in there. He said it's time for the White House to go on an offensive and get our mojo back. He wants the BCF to get its mojo back, like it had mojo. Think of the origins of that word sunk deeply in black Southern culture, and these racist frat boy white boys are trying to appropriate that. Well, one thing that is incredibly interesting is that in this news article, it says Bolton, who said Bush calls him Yash, his name's Josh Bolton, but Bush has got all these nicknames for people. Nobody has nicknames for Bush. We do. But he also has several other unrepeatable nicknames. So Bush has these unrepeatable nicknames for his chief of staff. We can only guess. Well, Pink and the Indigo Girls are next via song. And then, speaking of Pink, it's going to be Code Pink, the founder, Medea Benjamin. All that's next on the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. I'm Peter Werby.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When I do it, I feel the blood rushing through me. And I keep going back for more.
Carmen Castillo is under the influence of Dana, her volunteer trainer.
Tuck your chain, Carmen.
By spending just one day a week with kids like Carmen, Dana helps them develop interests that keep them away from drugs. Be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer, because you have something to offer. Log on to helpyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Peter Werby broadcasting from Detroit. Coming up, we have Medea Benjamin, founder of Code Pink. And that made me think we ought to play a song by Pink, Pink and the Indigo Girls, live acoustic. It's called Dear Mr. President. This ought to get this man to go home, or if not, ITMFA. Apparently, my website's getting kind of hard to get on because people want to know, what in the hell does ITMFA stand for? By the way, underneath, because I got one complaint, it says, caution, rude language on site. But you can go to my site and check it out and let that become our slogan. ITMFA, go to Peter Werby, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerby.com. Right now, Pink and the Indigo Girls on the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio Network.
One of the most important songs I've ever written is called Dear Mr. President, and we're going to play it for you.
Is the number working?
Dear Mr. President, come take a walk with me. Let's pretend we're just two people and you're not better than me. I'd like to ask you some questions if we can speak honestly. What do you feel when you see all the homeless on the street? Who do you pray for at night before you go to sleep? What do you feel when you look in the mirror? Are you proud? How do you sleep while the rest of us cry? How do you dream when a mother has no chance to say goodbye? How do you walk with your head? Can you even look me in the eye and tell me why? Dear Mr. President, were you a lonely boy? Are you a lonely boy? How can you say no child is left behind? We're not dumb and we're not blind. They're all sick.
Can you make the type on the call screen any larger? It's teeny. I can barely read it.
Take his own daughter's rights away. And what kind of father might hate his own daughter if she were gay? I can only imagine what the first lady has to say. You've come a long way from whiskey and cocaine.
What is happening?
Bombs took them away. Let me tell you about hard work.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Building a van out of a cardboard box. Let me tell you about hard work. Hard work. Hard work. You don't know something about hard work.
Ah, so we don't have her. All right. I can't really hear you because I got both this.
Dear Mr. President, you'd never take a walk with me. Would you?
It's the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. He'll be back tomorrow. That was Pink in the Indigo Girls. And it's available. It's actually available all around. And if you want to go to my website, it's there right now. PeterWerbe.com. W-E-R-B-E.com. I guess we do not have Medea Benjamin. It was hard for me hearing the folks in New York. Justin, maybe you could just tell me real quickly in my ear, we have her or no? No. Okay. No. Are we going to have her? Working on it. All right, good. In the meantime, we got us a phone number here. A lot of you must know it by memory because you're waiting. 866-303-2270. I want to hear some nicknames for Bush and Cheney, and Phil in San Diego wants to talk about that. Phil, hi, you're on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Good evening, Mr. Werby.
Hey.
Yeah, I got the perfect nicknames for both Bush and Cheney. I've had them for a long time. I just never was able to tell Mike about it. But
wait a minute now. This is a family show, you know.
Oh no. This is so appropriate because you talk about clean.
Okay.
But it's our English language. We can take these two names and turn them into what they stand for. Bush is B E A U, Bo.
Yeah.
And Cheney is Gus, G U S, because he shoots people's faces off. You put the two together, and you got bogus, because they're phony. They're not real. They're not a real president and vice president. And the music, you talk about awesome Pink song. If we could do what they did to Noriega when he had to listen to that music down there driving him nuts, that's what the song that they should play for Bush wherever he appears.
That's a great idea. All right, thank you, Phil. Appreciate it. By the way, what we're talking about with nicknames there, I wasn't necessarily asking for them. If you want to do that, that's fine with me. But Chief of Staff of the White House, Josh Bolton, said that he wants the White House to go on the offensive and, quote, get our mojo back. Rat boys want to get their mojo back. Never had any mojo. Oh, man. And Bolton, who said Bush calls him Yash and several other unrepeatable nicknames. I mean, these guys are such freaks. Nobody can excoriate these criminal psychos better than Mike. So I don't even think I'll try. But they are some whacks, aren't they? They are whack job supreme, and they have the whole world in their hand. They have our lives economically. They have the environment in their hands. And they have the power of war, and they are not constrained by laws. Have you seen that? Talk about high crimes and misdemeanors. Forget the misdemeanors. In fact, one thing I have to say about the BCF, the Bush crime family, the BCF does not commit misdemeanors. It is all high crimes. And the latest high crime is that Bush has, and this is according to the Boston Globe, Bush has quietly claimed the authority to disobey more than 750 laws enacted since he took office, asserting that he has the power to set aside any statute passed by Congress when it conflicts with his interpretation of the Constitution. Now, everyone knows the limited intelligence that this bozo has, and according... He's the decider now on laws. Does this sound like a nation of laws? Does this sound like the United States of America that's ruled by a constitution? Or does it increasingly come closer to the model that Bush spoke about jokingly before September 11th, that his favorite form of government was one-man rule or a dictatorship? And then he would laugh and he would say, of course, if I'm the dictator. I think we have our guest, Medea Benjamin, so we'll talk with her after the break. The rest of you, stay parked. Hold on. You can hear the phone. You can hear the show on hold, and we'll get to you eventually as well. We got a lot of time on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby, and this is the Air America Radio Network. Right back at you.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hey, truth seekers, the Republican fools put an idiot in the White House. Bush's war machine is bankrupting our country, and middle-class America is screwed again. Hi, I'm Mike Malloy, and it's time Bush and his cronies get what they deserve, and you can be the one to make it happen. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, and get your revenge by sending a conservative criminal to federal prison or to the Iraq War. Impeached doesn't pull any punches, folks. And if you haven't ordered your game yet, go to ImpeachBushGame.com and do it today.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's the Mike Malloy Show, but Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. And joining me from San Francisco, Medea Benjamin, founder of Code Pink, Women for Peace. Medea, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Peter.
The only time we see each other, we saw each other in Caracas. We saw each other on Saturday in New York City. Are we revolutionary globetrotters or what?
We just go to the right places at the right time.
Well, pink seems to be the operative word here, and is my face pink? I can't believe it. We were playing, as I told you when I saw you on Saturday, that I was going to play the Pink and Indigo Girls song, right? So I'm playing. It's this wonderful, moving song, as you know. And then I was talking from Detroit back to the folks in New York, and it was what I was saying was going over the air and drowning out the song. So my face is pink.
Oh, how embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. Well, yeah, I'm new to the business.
Depends what you say, too.
Yeah, right. I'll play it again. People have to hang around for a long time. Or they can go to my website and hear it. But enough about me, as they say. Let's talk about what's going on with Code Pink. I can't believe the amount of activities that you've got going. You got a Mother's Day 24-hour vigil. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, people are now taken to the streets again. It's just amazing. These last couple of days, we had that big march in New York. We had today's momentous marches all over the country around immigrant rights. We had Darfur yesterday. And I think we're getting a little spark back. And we're going to be taking to the streets again on Mother's Day, which your listeners might not know, but it wasn't started by Hallmark or See's Candy. It was started by a revolutionary woman, Julia Ward Howe, in 1870 to say, hey, mothers, get together and say no to war. So we're going to take that tradition and take it to the White House for the Mother's Day weekend of May 13th through 14th.
Now, do you have any idea, how that got transformed? Because maybe you could talk just for a minute about her original statement, this anti-war statement. It was, what's the Greek play? I forgot all of a sudden. Laertes or no?
Lysistrata.
Lysistrata. Well, that's close. It was sort of a Lysistrata. They didn't, withhold anything. She wasn't advocating that. But it was the women saying no to war, just like the Code Pink slogan. And somehow it got transferred into a Hallmark moment.
Well, think of today, May Day. You know, we haven't really celebrated May Day in this country for many, many years, a workers' holiday, and it got turned into Labor Day. So we're going back to our roots on a lot of things now. When Julie Ward Howe wrote her call for mothers, it was at the end of the Civil War. And she had watched the carnage and said, you know, this is crazy. Mothers shouldn't allow this to happen. Our sons should be too tender to kill the sons of other children. Our husbands shouldn't come home reeking of carnage, expecting caresses. It's a very, very beautiful proclamation. And she says we should rise up and say, disarm, disarm. So we took that proclamation, and we've read it many times and felt like it really spoke to us. So we're going to be in front of the White House, and we have all kinds of wonderful activities planned. You know, you got to fill in a lot of things for 24 hours.
Sure.
And keep people up all night. Of course, some people will come and not spend the whole night. That's okay, too. But for those who are the hearty types, we're going to have activities all night long that are going to range from, it's funny you mentioned Lysistrata, because we're going to do a reenactment of the play Lysistrata. We're going to do write and read letters to Laura Bush. We're going to have a really fun aerial image. You know, when people lie on the ground, you take pictures of them up in the air. We're going to do have teach-ins all over the White House, the park in front of the White House, on Iran and Iraq and organizing and the upcoming elections and immigrant rights. So that'll be really cool to see all these different teach-ins happening right there on the lawn.
And so as guys can come, too, because I see Dr. Patch Adams will be there.
Patch Adams will come, and guys are welcome. Now, Patch Adams said he's going to have a pink dress made for himself. but don't worry, Peter, if you come, you don't have to wear a pink dress.
Well, I'll just have my pink face from having talked over the pink song. Yeah, I'm looking at some of the words on your leaflet from Julia Ward Howe, the founder of Mother's Day. Arise, then, a women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts. Disarm, disarm. Is there an advantage to organizing gender specifically?
Yeah, you don't have to deal with so many male egos. That's probably the best one.
Well, that's true. It's been my experience that women are pretty much free from that.
They're pretty much what?
Free from these ego.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
Neither would I.
I wouldn't go that far.
I was just maybe teasing.
Not as big.
I tend to agree with you. Hey, but before these segments go by so quickly, you've got a peace delegation going to Jordan and Syria. Are you going to be on that?
Yes, that's going to be towards the end of June, and a way to meet Iraqis without going to Iraq.
That, you know, and people, are you looking for people to hook up with you? Yeah, I guess you can.
We are. Anybody interested, give us a ring at Code Pink Alert. Go on the website or contact us directly. But that will be a great opportunity to learn what's happening in the Middle East. And we have all kinds of travel opportunities this summer, from bike riding across the U.S. for peace to going and joining Cindy Sheehan and Camp Casey in Texas to going to Jordan and Syria.
Is Cindy Sheehan going with you too on the Jordan and Syria trip?
She wants to go to the Middle East. We think we might do one specially for her, but not at that exact time.
She's the calmest person I almost have ever met in the midst of sometimes pretty chaotic situations. Is that your experience with her?
She's got an amazing presence and can keep calm. And she told me that she used to be afraid of everything, like public speaking. And once her son died, she has no fear of anything anymore.
You know, I saw her on the street in Caracas, and I just introduced myself to her. And I didn't pull any rank. I didn't say I knew you or anything like that. And I said, can I have my picture taken with you? And I've never done that with anybody in my entire
You're
life.
You're a groupie, Peter.
I am, because I had seen in Caracas the press conference that you and the parents of other fallen GIs had put on, and I was just so moved by it, and I was so moved by her and the others that I just kind of wanted to, I don't know, have the photo.
Well, that's good. If you're going to be a groupie, who better to be a groupie for?
Okay. And so, but she's going to reinstitute Camp Casey and down in Crawford, huh?
Yes, and she'll be with us in front of the White House for the whole 24 hours. If anybody wants their picture, that's a good time to come.
Well, it's a lot going on. What about this Unburden, Inspire, and Renew Your Heart at the Crossings Retreat Center in Austin? Is that something that's open to the general public?
That is, too. That's another summer activity we have in Austin, Texas, to come. You know, what we've learned, Peter, people say to me often, you know, how do you keep going? And you keep going by getting your energy renewed by being with great people. And that's one of the reasons we create all these opportunities for people to get together. The retreat at the Crossings is to just recharge our batteries, learn from each other, have a chance to relax together and have some fun together. And we've been doing that 3 years since this war started, and it keeps us energized to organize.
And you are. Badia Benjamin, thanks so much for joining me on The Mike Malloy Show. I'll see you further down the road. Peter Werby on The Mike Malloy Show. We'll be right back.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Senate Republican leader Bill Frist, under pressure from business leaders, today retreated from his plan that would have used a tax increase on oil companies and other businesses to pay for a $100 gas rebate for motorists. Frist had proposed an accounting change that would have required oil companies to pay more taxes on their inventory of crude as a way to pay the one-time rebate. The proposal seemed to have little appeal for motorists. Aides to several Republican senators said they got generally negative feedback from the public in telephone calls and emails. Said one aide, there are some who say this is a Band-Aid and they want a real solution. The former Inspector General for the Department of Homeland Security says he was pressured to tone down criticism of security failures in the months before the 2004 presidential election. This is according to ABC News. Clark Kent Irvin says he was confronted personally by then-Secretary Tom Ridge to, quote, intimidate me, to steer me down, to force me to back off, to not look into these areas that would be controversial, and not to issue critical reports. Irvin was not reappointed as Inspector General in January 2005 when his term expired. A spokesman for the Department of Homeland Security said the notion that Irvin was stifled is fundamentally flawed. There was no immediate comment from former Secretary Tom Ridge. Iran's ambassador to the U.N. accusing George Bush and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice of illegal and insolent threats. The Iranian official denouncing Bush and Rice for refusing to rule out a nuclear strike on Iran. Last month, Bush was asked if a nuclear attack was among U.S. options against Iran. He replied, all options are on the table. In a letter to U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan, the Iranian ambassador says U.S. threats against his country are in total contempt of international law and the U.N. Charter. A Florida judge is keeping behind bars a former professor who admitted to providing support to a U.S.-designated terrorist group. The judge today sentencing Sammy Alarion to another year and a half behind bars before he's deported. The former University of South Florida professor was sentenced in all to 4 years and 9 months in prison, but he gets credit for the over 3 years he has already served while being held. His lawyers called for Alarion's immediate release. He signed a plea deal last month in which he admitted providing support to members of the group Palestinian Islamic Jihad. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. Truth Seekers, welcome. 866-303-2270. That's our phone number. And if you were listening earlier, usually my experience in talk radio or in any kind of radio I've been doing for a little bit is when you made a mistake, move on. Do not pay attention to it. Do not bring attention to it. But we were playing. Okay, I can't blame it on anyone else. Me here in Detroit, all by myself, I was sitting in the studio, and I put on the air this wonderful song called Dear Mr. President by Pink and the Indigo Girls. It is so moving that it almost brought tears to my eyes. And I thought, and everybody I played it for, it's almost had the same effect if you're a human being, which lets out you-know-who, right? Anyway, so in the meantime, while the song is going on, I'm talking to the people in New York from where I'm broadcasting in Detroit. Everything I'm saying is blatting out the song, and we're talking about all this technical stuff about the size of type on the screen and all that. Oh. So next we had on Medea Benjamin, founder of Code Pink, who I told, my face is pink. So we're going to play it again at about 20 minutes after the hour. Even that's bad probably to do. If, you know, the program director would say, don't do it, just move on, don't mention it again. But I think the song is that powerful. If you want to get a preview of it, you can go to my website, peterwerby.com, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerby.com. Also, you can listen to the brand new Neil Young album, Life with War, and also the song on that, Impeach the President, where we say ITMFA. ITMFA, what does that mean? Go to the website. You'll find that out as well. Now, Mike Malloy, out for the last couple of days, he was in Sacramento attending the California Democratic Convention. He'll tell you all about it tomorrow. And he hosted an impeachment forum. And I mentioned it on the air, and a couple people wrote in. So the other people there were Elizabeth de la Vega, who's a former federal prosecutor from Minnesota, Bob Furtick of Democrats.com. Good site, Democrats.com. Check it out. Tim Goodrich, a former Iraq vet who served in the Air Force, who's also working with a congressional campaign in California. Shayanda Kadidal, a staff attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights. State Assemblyman Paul Koretz, probably, representing the 42nd District in the California House. Congressman Maxine Waters. And, of course, says Greg in Sacramento, Big Mike himself. Dan from Forest Hill, California, says, tell Mike that Saturday at the Crest Theater was a resounding success. I had nightmares that I would show up there and see Mike tied to a chair with SS-looking guards surrounding anyone who walked through the door. I could see Mike quickly glance at a sign above the door as I sneaked a look, and I realized that it read Room 101. Remember that from 1984? Fortunately, it was an absolutely astounding experience. The panel speakers made clear and concise arguments for articles of impeachment. Wish I could have stuck around for the festivities afterwards, but my fiancé and other had other designs for the evening. Well, quit bragging, Dan. Hope Mike made it to the wine country. Yeah, he probably drank up half of, what's it up there? Napa. All right. Hope so. I would have. Okay. So what have we been talking about the rest of the night? Of course, the big immigration demonstrations all over the country today. You look at all the news online. It says a million immigrants. Gee, I bet it was two, three, four times that at least. Probably a couple million in Los Angeles alone. And it was un día sin inmigrantes. Un día sin inmigrantes, which means a day without immigrants. And since this is May Day, we should have taken a big lesson from them and made it un día sin toros. All of us walked out over oil prices, the Iraq war, the whole Bush crime family, the BCF, as I'm going to call them from now on, the attempt of Bush to overthrow the Constitution with his high crime of saying he will no longer feel bound to follow the laws of the United States. Now, you're thinking I'm making this up. There's, you know, about 2% conservatives listening to this, and they're saying, well, they're going to start lying about the man I love. You know, there's only a few of them left, so we can kind of just smile at them now. But It's not so much these misguided supporters of Bush that remain. And Bush, and where did I see this? I think it was on BuzzFlash.com. They had it as a headline. I love the headlines on the site. At BuzzFlash.com, it said, if there were films of Bush and Cheney strangling children, the 30% left of support that they have in this country for the BCF, they would say, oh, no, 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 no. What they're doing is performing the Heimlich technique, and they're trying to save their lives, but they pressed a little too hard. Right? So there's no sense trying to argue with them or convince them. There is nothing that they could learn about them. We could have films of Bush and Cheney practicing cannibalism, and they would still say they are men of high integrity. So forget about them. But what we're concerned about is what is happening to this country, what is happening to our lives, what is happening to our communities, what is happening to the world at the hands of these people that are mad. They are completely mad. They are psychos. They are freaks. And you think, oh, I'm calling names. Well, all right, let's deal with reality. I started to read this from the Boston Globe that Bush has quietly claimed the authority to disobey more than 750 laws. Now, I'm going to do that, too. I think I'm going to claim that I have the authority to disobey more than 100 laws. I think I'm going to go do some drugs and drive 140 miles an hour. You go, well, that's not quite the same thing. You know, and as terrible as if that happened, or if I was driving while impaired, we know the results of that. In many ways, of what all of this is affecting now, what it has affected, and what the potential is, Bush is so many times, by factors of I can't even do the math on, more dangerous to all of us than any single drunk driver or impaired driver or anything like that. Because what he says is that he has the power to set aside any statute passed by Congress when it conflicts with his interpretation of the Constitution. This from a guy that can't say nuclear. His interpretation of the Constitution. This layabout, this slackard. Now, I support layabouts and slackards. Some of my best friends are, and to some extent I am. But not when they are charged with upholding the Constitution. In fact, what does it say? What is the duty of the president? The duty of the president is to, to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. To take care that the laws be faithfully executed, even if he does not agree with them. Even if he signed a law, for instance, even if, say, he vetoed a law and Congress passed it over his veto. Because remember, the founding fathers, in their genius for government, understood what autocratic rule was all about. That's what they came from. That's what they made a revolution for, to get away from one-man rule in government. George Bush is reasserting this. Remember people used to call him a few years ago, King George? This is it, folks. Now, is there a conservative out there that can make an argument for why George W. Bush says that when it conflicts with his interpretation of the Constitution, he can disobey any law that he chooses? Among the laws Bush said he can ignore are military rules and regulations, affirmative action provisions, requirements that Congress be told about immigration services problems, whistleblower protections for nuclear regulatory officials, and safeguards against political interference in federally funded research. And you see this is all ideologically driven. Because one of the things, this is high crime. This is not a misdemeanor. We don't need high crimes and misdemeanors to impeach Bush. His misrule, since he illegally seized the presidency in 2000, is all high crimes. Legal scholars say the scope and aggression of Bush's assertions that he can bypass laws represent a concerted effort to expand his power at the expense of Congress, upsetting the balance between the branches of government. Hey, all of us learned in high school about the balance of power. Mayday, mayday, this is mayday. We've got to get rid of this guy. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. I'll be right back.
From the White House. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you want to know what's really going on in U.S. foreign and domestic policy? Then read Noam Chomsky's brilliant new book, Failed States. The New York Times calls Noam Chomsky a global phenomenon, perhaps the most widely read voice on foreign policy on the planet. Now, the best-selling author exposes our use of military force for what it is, a warning sign that America has become as dangerous as the failed states we claim we're trying to fix. Read Failed States by Noam Chomsky, new in hardcover from Metropolitan Books.
My name's Rachel, and in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
I'll start drinking in middle school, and I'll do some things I don't really want to do. So by the time my parents talk to me about it, alcohol won't be my only problem.
So start talking before they start drinking. To learn more, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werby sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Peter Werby, broadcasting from Detroit. And I said I was going to play the Pink song that I totally screwed up by talking over it about an hour ago. And I'll do that in just half a second. I just keep looking at this thing about the White House Chief of Staff, Josh Bolton, saying we've got to get our mojo back. Well, one of the ways they want to get their mojo back is actually what they want to get. You know, these frat rats, these white boys talking about getting their mojo back that they never had. They don't even know what mojo is. Yeah. But here, I want to get this call in first because Adam from Fort Lauderdale has a great suggestion. Hey, Adam, you're on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Well, here's my suggestion. You know, if we don't do something to stop this crime family, it's going to be the end of the world.
You know what? I would have said you were exaggerating maybe even a year ago, but you're honing in on something.
Yes, and I have a very effective way to do it.
What's that?
And it would also be a real slap in the face to Bush. When we get those $100 cash, $100 checks for the gasoline that he's pimping us out with, I say we endorse them and mail them to the DNC.
The Democratic National Committee.
Yes,
or somebody that is putting up some resistance to the BCF. Yeah, for sure. All right, I got to play this song, so thanks for that. Here is Pink and the Indigo Girls, and I promise I will not talk over it.
One of the most important songs I've ever written, and it's called Dear Mr. President, and we're going to play it for you. Dear Mr. President, come take a walk with me. Let's pretend we're just two people and you're not better than me. I'd like to ask you some questions if we can speak honestly. What do you feel when you see all the homeless on the street? Who do you pray for at night before you go to sleep? What do you feel when you look in the mirror? Are you proud? How do you sleep while the rest of us cry? How do you dream when a mother has no chance to say goodbye? How do you walk with your head held high? Can you even look me in the eye and tell me why? Dear Mr. President, were you a lonely boy? Are you a lonely boy? How can you say no child is left behind? We're not dumb and we're not blind. They're all sitting in your cells while you pave the road to hell. What kind of father would take his own daughter's rights away? And what kind of father might hate his own daughter if she were gay? I can only imagine what the First Lady has to say. You've come a long way from whiskey and cocaine. Baby on the way. Let me tell you about hard work.
Never take a walk with me.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ooh, are you okay?
Oh, it's my arthritis pain.
Here, try my Aleve.
People with arthritis are sharing their good news about Aleve. Just two Aleve have the strength to stop arthritis pain all day. That would take 8 extra strength Tylenol. So try Aleve and see for yourself. Then share your good news. Comparison based on 24-hour label dosing. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
May is Arthritis Month. Join Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation for the annual Arthritis Walk taking place nationwide. For more information, visit AleveGoodNews.com.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Yeah, definitely. This guy's put on a killer show.
Great, let's go.
Wait, it's just the open band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Anti-Drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey-free zone.
Well, it's the Mike Malloy Show, but it's Peter Werby broadcasting from Detroit, sitting in for Mike. Mike was out at the California Democratic Convention, and he was hosting an impeachment forum, and absolutely incredibly attended, apparently very enthusiastic, and Mike will tell you all about it when he gets back tomorrow. Now, according to Yash, now Yash, remember, is Josh, the Josh Bolton, this chief of staff for Bush. He wants to get the mojo back. That's what he's talking about. He's not going to do it, of course, by giving any attention to the fact that this is the anniversary of Mission Accomplished 3 years ago when Bush flew onto the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln and declared under this enormous sign, probably cost us, the taxpayers, $20,000 or something like that, Mission Accomplished in Iraq. Well, there's money bleeds out of the federal budget for military stuff. We pay for it all, everything from the signage to these insane weapon systems. And there's an organization that's doing some very, very critical work. It doesn't get a lot of recognition because its issues are not always on the agenda, but they should be. And the coordinator of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space is Bruce Gagnon. He's been on the show before. Bruce, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Peter. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks a lot. Now, you're talking about a budget request for 2007 that's $5.7 million. Now, that might mean a lot to a Detroit school, but it's just chump change for the federal military budget. What's your concern about it?
Well, it's really important because it's really the barrier between whether or not we're going to have weapons and warfare in space. The Bush administration is asking for that fiscal year 2007 budget. They want $5.7 million to do the a laser test, firing a laser from a range in New Mexico in Albuquerque up into low Earth orbit to knock out a satellite. Now, this is very important because there's been a congressional prohibition on anti-satellite weapons, and the United States is now poised, Bush is now poised to break down that door to actually test this technology, giving the United States the ability to destroy other countries' satellites. And why this is so important is the recent shock and awe invasion of Iraq. For
okay.
example, in that attack, initial attack that the United States did, 70% of the United States weapons were directed to their targets by military satellites. And so satellite technology today coordinates all warfare on the earth. And so the Pentagon is saying, hey, if we can do that, so could someone else, right?
Sure.
So could another country. And for years, all the way back to 1997, Pentagon Space Command planning documents have been saying that the United States must be able to develop the offensive technology to destroy other countries' satellites so that the United States can control and dominate space and be the master of space.
Well, Bruce Gagnon, what's wrong with that? I mean, it's a mean, cruel world out there. It would go the argument. There's a lot of people that, a lot of countries that eventually might be our rivals and might resort to warfare. Shouldn't we have, shouldn't we have the upper hand?
Well, first of all, this kind of move would be tremendously destabilizing. You would be creating a new arms race in space because soon other countries would have to respond. And that's not only countries like China but it would be countries, it would be like the European Union, who is now putting up military reconnaissance satellites in space because they don't trust the United States anymore. They say they've created a system called Galileo. And the United States has recently threatened them, saying if you let China in on that deal, if you provide any of that technology or any of that satellite information to China, then we're going to have to take your satellite out to the European Union. So this would force the European Union then to respond in kind, and off we go to a new arms race that will be tremendously costly. Now, while this
Which doesn't bother the Pentagon or what we call the BCF here on the Mike Malloy Show, right?
No, it doesn't at all, but it should bother the American people because the Pentagon says that Star Wars, the generic name for war in space, will be the largest industrial project in the history of the planet Earth. And they, in an industry publication called Space News a couple of years ago, had an editorial where they said, you know, we have to be responsible corporate citizens. We're sending our lobbyists to Washington to secure a funding source for all this stuff. And we have, and they identified it, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. These are the programs that the military-industrial complex is now going after to defund in order to move the arms race into space. So we're urging people to contact Congress to oppose this line item in the fiscal year 2007 budget to fire a laser into space, into lower Earth orbit, hitting a satellite. Which, you know, also will create space junk,
sure.
Space debris, which will make basically space uninhabitable in the future. And if you go to our website, which is www.spaceforpeace.org, spaceforpeace.org, right at the very top of our website on the home page, we have a link that will take you to a place where you can write your congressional letter. It'll take you right into that whole process. So mm-hmm. We would appreciate people helping us out on this.
Sure, and, well, we're helping ourselves out. You're helping us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's space four piece, like the numeral four, not F-O-R. Bruce Gagnon, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, Bush is looking for a green light right here to move the arms race into space. He's been itching to do it ever since he got into office. They've been talking at the Pentagon about this idea of anti-satellite testing for years, and now they've got a president and a Congress that are inclined to give them that go-ahead. We can't let them go this step. Mm-hmm. We've got to pull them back.
Bruce Gagnon's my guest. He's the coordinator of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. Bruce, did you say that there is a treaty, though, that forbids this?
No, there's not. In fact, the Russians and the Canadians and the Chinese for the last several years, even through the Clinton administration, were going to the United Nations General Assembly asking for a new expanded treaty that would ban all weapons in space, and both during the Clinton years and now the Bush years, the official United States policy has been there's no problem, therefore there's no need to negotiate a global ban on weapons in space. So this has been a bipartisan problem, to be honest with you. It's not just a Republican Bush problem. This has been a problem all the way through. But at least Clinton wouldn't let them go forward with major efforts to deploy weapons in space, and I'm afraid Bush is moving closer and closer to that now.
Now, this the test, which is going to fire a ground-based laser into space to hit a satellite, do you think that they would try to hit the XM satellite because Air America broadcasts on that?
You know, I think they could say, well, we were trying to hit this one satellite, but we missed. And God knows what might get hit after that.
Well, Bruce Gagnon, let's go back to the verb that you just used and is in your news release, and that is try. A lot of their efforts in this Star Wars madness hasn't worked out real well. Is there any reason to think they're going to do any better with this effort if we let them go ahead?
Well, there's a big difference. The area they've been failing in is trying to have a bullet hit a bullet, have a projectile hit an incoming missile in space, in deep space, traveling at enormous speeds. And they've been having trouble accomplishing that. The difference here is that satellites are in very predictable orbits. You know where they're going to be every minute of the day. And going up and hitting something that's in a very predictable orbit is a much easier task than trying to have a bullet hit a bullet at enormous speeds going through space. So it's a big difference. And, you know, I've always said that you give these guys enough money and you give them enough time, and they will make something work. Now, this whole Star Wars program has never been about defense. This whole thing about missile defense has always been the Trojan horse. This program is not about defense, defending us from attack from rogue states by hitting their missiles. It's always been about offense. a first strike, hitting someone before they can hit you. And we now know that preemptive attack is the official doctrine of the Bush administration. So
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, so this is really what it's about, and that's why they're creeping up on anti-satellite weapons. Again, our website is spaceforpeace.org, and if you go there right to our homepage, we'll take you to a place where you can send a letter to Congress to oppose this money for an anti-satellite weapons test.
And Bruce Gagin, just before we go, we only have about a minute. Tell us about this Iran, remind me the name of the bill, the Iran Liberation Bill or something?
Iran Freedom Support Act. It was passed just a few days ago, April 26th. The vote was 397 in favor and only 21 in the House opposing this. Dennis Kucinich, one of the people from a congressman from Ohio, voted against it. He called it a stepping stone to war. And in fact, my own congressman, so-called liberal Congressman Tom Allen, who says he's against the war in Iraq, he voted in favor of it.
Well, so did the whole Michigan delegation, including John Conyers, who could vote to support communism, and he would still get elected by 86% of the vote. I don't what's with these guys?
Yeah, I don't know, but you know, it's all being set up right now, and now there's to go into Iran, and now there's talk of using nuclear weapons as well. It came out in the New Yorker by Seymour Hersh.
Sure. It's so, terrible. You know, well, Bruce, we're out of time. I just want to urge people to go to your website. It's spaceforpeace.org, and it's the numeral 4, spaceforpeace.org. My guest has been Bruce Gagnon, coordinator of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. As usual, Bruce, great talking with you. Thanks for staying on this. Thanks for all the information.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. We'll be right back. Get some of your calls at 866-303-2270. This is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werbe.
Feed the people. Make them happy. Same problem now. Power to the people.
Power to the people.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
story about a top shore host who's riding the airwaves from coast to coast. Raking in the money like a royal flush, always in a hurry, that's why they call him Rush. He gotta make it to the mic, make it to the phone. He's got a personality, keeping flesh to bone. He got an answer for anything you might want to know. And if he doesn't, well, hey, it's his radio show, Rush Limbaugh. The billion-dollar job, Rush Limbaugh. There ought to be a law. Now it stands a legion, though I've heard it said they call themselves Ditto Heads. But a ditto is a repeat down to the bone. So a head with a ditto ain't nothing but a clone. He pushes all the buttons out of feeding fear, crawling like a maggot in your inside ear. If brain cells are made out of paper mache, he wouldn't know what to do with them anyway. Rush Limbaugh, the billion-dollar job, Rush Limbaugh. You're out of law.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. That's Billion Dollar Jaw, Jim Page. No website. I think this is so old, might even be been before a lot of, almost by now, almost all singers have them, right? It's called Going Down to Eugene, probably Eugene, Oregon. Jim Page, Billion Dollar Jaw. And I wanted to get some of you on the air before we get our guest on. We'll talk about Rush Limbaugh at the top of the next hour. How's that? Okay, let's see. Where are we going? They're all good. All right, so Mike in Denton, Texas. Thank you very much. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. It's great to be on with you tonight in Mike's rarefied air.
I'm the other disciple. I'm Peter.
Oh, Peter. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's okay.
Peter. Yeah. Good evening. Hey, I want to get your opinion on nationalizing the energy sector, but first I want a very important thing to say. It's been 365 days, 1 year to this day, on a Sunday, when the Times of London published a Downing Street memo, and nobody's talking about it, but it revealed the minutes of a meeting where Jack Straw revealed that to the Tony Blair, Prime Minister, the case for war was thin, and Americans were going to fix the facts around the policy.
Absolutely. Another reason to observe May Day, besides it being an international workers' holiday, eh? Hey, but what do I think about nationalizing energy? Sure.
Why don't we pay $100 to ourselves instead of to 20 or 30 boards of directors? If we paid ourselves that money and had the money to fight a war if we needed to, instead of borrowing it.
Look at the difference. When you shop ExxonMobil, you're paying, your dollars are going to pay off this $400 million retirement program for Lee Raymond, the ex-CEO, the retiring CEO.
And they underfund their pension for their employees.
Sure, absolutely. When you buy Citgo, it goes to Venezuela, and whatever you may think of Hugo Chavez, that money goes for the poor people of Venezuela. So I'll tell you, I'm going to the tomorrow because I did the boycott today. I'm going to go fill up, I'm going to wince when it says $45, but at least I know it's not going into some rich SOB's bank account.
I mean, these guys are like ticks on our society, if you think about it. They sit there and they just bleed us off, and, you know, we can't have any remorse for them. They've had enough. Let's get them off of the host body here.
You got it, Mike. You got it, rather.
Away.
All right, thanks a lot. Here's Todd Nifica. Todd, hi, you're on the air. Go ahead. Hey, Todd, you with me? Todd. No, Todd?
I'm here.
Todd,
go
ahead.
Now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Man, it's just so daunting to listen to this show. It's amazing. It's really, truly is. I mean, I get up in the morning before work and listen to, you know, my little tidbit of morning news, and they're usually telling me how to deep-fry hot dogs, you know, something completely irrelevant. And then you listen to this, and it seems to me the agenda is set. How could we not know about this Iran liberation or whatever you called it? That's just phenomenal. I mean, people
exactly.
Should know.
Why?
How are we going to hold these people accountable if we aren't even aware of what they're doing? It is completely shadow government. It's freaking me out.
Well, we do have an obligation now because they, as usual, have always tried to hide everything important from us and do everything in stealth. But people are beginning to learn. It used to be would take it for granted that the guy on television wearing a suit was telling us the truth. I hope next time around.
People still do it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, by now, haven't people learned that you'd do a lot better assuming that the guy in the suit on television wearing the little flag in his pen, in his little flag pin in his lapel is lying? We could always find out later that he's telling the truth, but usually they're not, and better off we would at least, another way to put it, a fancy way to put it, it's critical thinking. I mean,
Haven't we? Definitely. Not enough of that. Well, I agree.
All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate your call. John in Ferndale, Washington. John, you're on the air. You got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, I just want to lay a point on you that Tom Hartman talks about all the time, and that is as long as we keep taking up the excess population of Mexico, they will never be able to fix their own country, and it just drives down the labor – the labor wages here in the United States. And I
never have heard Tom so far wrong on anything in my life. I don't know where he's coming from. Maybe he's watching Lou Dobbs too much or something
rats in the cage is too many.
Wait, we have destroyed the economies of these countries that the United States has been looting for over 100 years, and now we're beginning to reap the results of it. These are our fellow workers who are going where the best jobs are. And the best jobs right now for them are the low-paid jobs, the low-wage jobs in our country. Because I'll tell you what the alternative is. Since we've ruined their agricultural system with NAFTA, their other option is to go live on a garbage dump in Mexico City with 22 million people. So the enterprising ones, what do? They come here. So we're not going to solve the problem in the way that Tom is talking about it. Please tell him I said so. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Got another hour coming up. We're going to talk about Rush Limbaugh. He says he's victorious. And also oil, gas prices. That's next on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby. Hang on.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks.
Okay, Kenny. Try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, 3 buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. 2 little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. Massive pro-immigrant rallies were held in cities across the nation Monday. Immigrants and their supporters demanded legalization of undocumented aliens. In Homestead, Florida, these women joined the protests because they say immigrants deserve respect.
We would like to see legalization for all the people that come here and work. That's what we want to see.
We deserve a better future. We work hard and no one recognizes what we do.
Jim Smith reports from a large demonstration in New York City.
This day of action here in New York City has been capped off with a massive rally in Union Square Park. Thousands filled the park, jamming in shoulder to shoulder, waving flags and holding signs saying amnesty for all immigrants. In between chants of things like yes we can, several speakers took to a stage, including Reverend Jesse Jackson, hoping to send a clear message to President Bush and members of Congress. In Union Square Park, Jim Smith, New York.
In Seattle, Washington, two people were injured during an immigration march. Patty Lane has that.
This peaceful march took a violent turn when a car came plowing through this crowd. It's unclear why the driver kept going, hitting people as he drove through. At least two people were injured. The driver's been taken into custody. Patty Lane, Seattle.
Gasoline prices went up an average of only a half cent last week to about $2.92 a gallon. Prices jumped about 10 cents a week in the previous 4 weeks. Oil prices rose again Monday as investors worried that supplies could be affected by ongoing troubles in Iran and Nigeria. Florida lawmakers are one step closer to passing a bill that would put limits on political protests at military funerals. Veterans groups throughout the country have been outraged by the actions of a group in Kansas. Members of the Westboro Baptist Church claim American war deaths are God's punishment for tolerating gays and lesbians, and they've been cheering the deaths of U.S. soldiers. State Senator Mike Bennett of Bradenton, Florida, says enough is enough.
We're proposing a law to protect funerals honoring veterans who have died for our country, honoring veterans who have died so the people from Westboro Baptist Church could stand up in America and enjoy the freedom to speak that garbage.
The military funeral bill is up for a final vote in the Florida Senate Tuesday. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
It's the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. I'm Peter Werby.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the multinational corporations and to the profit for which they stand. One interlocking directorate under no government, indivisible with monopoly and cheap labor for all.
And that stupid's pledge, that's Utah Phillips. It is on a collection called Hail to the Thief 2. Songs to send Bush packing. You can go to georgeandjulius.com, georgeandjulius.com. Actually, there's an interview. I didn't realize this. I just saw George and Julius. It's Julius Margolin and George Mann, and they're singers. Julius is about, I think, 91 years old, and writing songs and singing. He's got great ones, many of them on here. And this is a collection, including some of their songs. I saw them a couple of weeks ago in Detroit here at Local 174, the famous Walter Reuther local, and they were singing. So go to georgeandjulius.com. You can see the interview I did with them and also pick up some of their CDs. They're pretty good, and they're lasting. And Utah Phillips. Check out Utah Phillips. Just Google him. I don't have a website for him. He's an old wobbly storyteller. And then I hope you don't think wobbly means he's not very steady on his feet. Pardon me. Wobbly is what the IWW, the Industrial Workers of the World, were called. You can go to IWW.org. See what a union should be like. It's a radical. It's after 12 here in the East. It's okay. Sorry for those of you in other time zones. This is May Day, the International Workers' Holiday, so it's a pleasure to be on the Mike Malloy Show on this auspicious occasion. We've recaptured the day from these Stalinist police states and are beginning to celebrate it like it should be, celebrating the common working person, not, and also defending our rights that are furiously under assault. And we've had 3 days of protests, the first one that I was at on Saturday in New York City, 350,000 people marching to say, end George Bush's lying illegal war. Then yesterday, Sunday, hey, we're into, Tuesday already, so I got to watch my days. Some of you in the West, never mind, I'm totally confused. But on Sunday, the Darfur protests and the massive immigrant protests on Monday that shut down good sections of the economy. Now, also, it is a day where we learned that George Bush and the BCF, the Bush crime family, is trying to get its mojo back. That's what Josh Bolton says. They want to get their mojo back. And I don't think they're going to get it back by mentioning that May 1st was Mission Accomplished Day. Remember that stunt? And it's also, as a caller reminded us, the anniversary of the Downing Street memo, when it was exposed for one and all that this war against Iraq, the occupation, was based on an absolute lie. We're going to be talking about oil a little later. Our number here, 866-303-2270. Well, Rush Limbaugh declared victory Monday after signing a deal with prosecutors that will dismiss a prescription fraud charge in 18 months if he complies with the terms. Now, he can't own a gun. You know how those righties love guns. Happiness is a warm gun. Right. My wife told me, never sing on the air. I should listen to her. He's going to submit to random drug tests, and he has to continue treatment for his acknowledged addiction to painkillers. Now, I don't know how he gobbled all that Oxycontin down. He, in a period of 6 months, took 2,000 Oxycontins. I mean, he couldn't have been selling it. I mean, if somebody had scored 2,000 Oxycontins, you would think that they were a dealer. Because could they ingest it? Could they actually function? Now, he's obviously a big-time addict. Should I mention? I can mention her name on this show. Usually I don't like to give publicity to right-wingers on my Detroit show because that isn't regular talk show listeners. A lot of them, at least, are people that sometimes haven't even heard of some of the people we take for granted, like Ann Coulter, who made something approaching a funny remark about Rush Limbaugh. She said, "The liberals have finally met a dope addict they do not like." That's right. She said, the liberals have finally met a dope addict that they don't like. Now, what that meant, of course, was that we have compassion for people that have addictions. whether it's cigarettes, whether it's alcohol, whether it's cocaine, whether it's heroin. We don't think they're vile criminals that ought to be put away in jail and be clients for the prison industrial complex. We think that for one thing, well, I don't know, I don't want to talk for all of you, but for me, I'm completely libertarian on the issue. People should know full well, and that's one of the duties of government, to provide education, the dangers that intoxicating substances contain. And most of us know that. And most people know if you drink a lot and then drive, that's bad. Most people know if you start using heroin, it's got a high addiction rate. But, I mean, the highest addiction rate of all, of course, is cigarettes. But that's okay. I mean, these drugs, these legal drugs, got to have big money behind them. Of course, so do the illegal ones, don't they? We know that a lot of the so-called drugs bear no harm whatsoever to the individual, like marijuana. But what the hell if they did? What happened to the conservative call for get the government off our backs? I mean, why can't I choose to alter my consciousness in the way I choose? If I want to drink and not drive, if I even want to drink to excess and then wind up worshiping the porcelain goddess, I won't even go into what that is if you don't understand what it is. That's my business. Now, there does get to be a point at which behavior becomes community business. I understand that. Because alcoholics, drug addicts, people that get addicted to intoxicating substances, there's also a social toll as well. We know that. That they miss work if you're only interested in the economic aspect of it. They're sicker, and that sense is economic as well. And we know within their families that there's also problems there. So it's not like it's like some of the libertarians, not really a libertarian in the right wing sense, but some of the libertarians say that it's completely a victimless crime. Well, even if there were no laws against addiction or no laws against drugs, say, there's still associated problems, just as there is with alcohol. But the vast majority of us who drink, and the vast majority of you, because I certainly don't do this, that use drugs, use it recreationally. And for those of you that have problems with alcohol, and geez, we really know the people that have problems with alcohol, the legal drug, I certainly do in my family, among my friends. I have people that I know have died because of their alcohol addiction. We know the problems associated with it, but they all are medical and psychological and ought to be dealt with like that, not turning our community, the community residents and our family and our friends and our spouses into criminals. That's with drugs, of course. But we have a system. It's called a war on drugs. War on drugs? I can't even drive on drugs. But anyways, that is another rat hole, like the war budget, where trillions of dollars over the last 50 years, and when we go back to the medical budget, the military budget, but also now including the so-called war on drugs, that has wasted billions upon billions upon billions till they've added up to trillions of dollars that could have been spent the way it should have. Now, what happens here? It's this enormous transfer of funds. We earn it. We work our butts off in offices and factories and wherever else. The government takes a section of it. So they call it taxes, and what it should be doing is allocating it to social needs so that we have really good, strong pensions called Social Security, that we don't have to worry about whether these people are lying about or not, whether you know it's running out of money, the funds, and what have you. We should have a national health program. We should have subsidized incomes for the people that can't live the kind of standard of living that we associate with America, at least, you know, the myth. Right now there's 40 million households that make under $30,000 a year. And still, we're looted of our wages in order to turn it over to the military-industrial complex, into the prison-industrial complex. That's what happens to our monies that gets taken from us. Limbaugh, okay's deal, we'll have drug tests, yeah. And yet, here the son of a bitch gets on the air on April 21st, and he says, this FDA report came out, the Food and Drug Administration, that said there's no medical benefit whatsoever to marijuana. Of course, there was one 7 years ago that was actually put together with doctors and scientists as opposed to these right-wing ideologues. But here's what Rush says. Here is a drug addict that says the FBI says there's no zilch, zero, nada shred of medicinal value to the evil weed marijuana. Tell me how it's evil, Rushbow. This is going to be a setback, he says, to the long-haired, maggot-infested, dope-smoking crowd. He's talking about people dying of cancer. These people are so horrible. What does Mike say? Have I told you tonight how much I hate these people? Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werby with you. I'll be right back, 866-303-2270.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I was walking in the park and somebody stopped me and said, I'm tired of taping up the leaks in my old vacuum and then having to buy another one every 2 years. I'm going to buy an Orrick. Friends, why should manufacturers stop making throwaway vacuums when you keep buying them? For a vacuum that lasts and lasts, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and try an 8-pound Oreck XL risk-free for 30 days.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com. And now, back to Peter Werbe on the Mike Molloy Show.
Thank you, Mike. 866-303-2270 at 34 minutes after the hour. We'll be talking a little more. Actually, we haven't talked hardly at all, have we, about oil, gas prices, and what have you. We're talking about the big hypocrite, Rushbaugh, who says victory is his. He has been found, well, he hasn't been found not guilty. He pleaded not guilty, but he sort of copped a plea. One of those things that actually you would support for anyone else. They don't have a criminal record. They have obviously a medical problem, and you don't want to throw it in jail, except the guy is such a hypocrite. He always called for people that violated the drug law, any drug law, to be given jail time. Now, he was stoned while he was on the air. In fact, he lost his hearing. He did so many Oxycontin. Remember, he had to have that kind of ear implant put in his head? And what they had for him was this voice program where when you called in, you didn't call in, but the clones did, right? The ditto heads. What? Can you imagine being called a ditto head? That you are such a low piece of crap that you refer to yourself as a ditto head? Oh, man. Anyway, so you would call in, and then your words would be transferred, or what would you call it, transformed? Yeah, transformed from voice into a printout so he could read it. And there would also be a red, yellow, and green light to show what the quality of the conversation was. In other words, it was red, it was, you know, it was hostile, it was green, it was friendly, and what have you. So he's blown, stoned out of his mind broadcasting. And John writes in from Charleston, South Carolina, to calltalkyes@yahoo.com, which I haven't given out very much, but you can contact me there. What I remember from my radio college days is that a person would be banned from radio if they are under the influence of any drug during a broadcast on the public airwaves. Is that still true? What would happen to you, says John? Well, my ass would be out of a job, and so would anyone where I work here in Detroit. But when you are a billionaire, is he a billionaire? He got like a third of a billion, a 10-year contract. No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to exaggerate. He's only a multi-millionaire. So this guy's getting special treatment. Now, I would I'd be in some pretty, pretty bad trouble. Let's see. Larry in Phoenix has been waiting quite a while. Larry, thanks for calling 866-303-2270. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a little bit nervous, but...
So am I, but don't ever admit it.
I called in not to really talk about Rush Limbaugh, but about some of what he does by trying to divide people all the time. He spent all this time barking and huffing and puffing and trying to divide people psychologically into turning on each other. But with today being a real special day with the immigrants and with labor, I wanted to mention that I want to remind people that there was an incident called the Ludlow Massacre in southern Colorado in 1914, and there was a coal strike, and most of the miners were all not citizens of the United States. They were immigrants from Europe, and they were being severely mistreated just because they were immigrants, and they were being robbed and murdered in between the mines and where they lived, and then they finally went on strike. But today, there's Rush Limbaugh trying to divide the workers in the United States who grew up here against the immigrants who are the workforce that has always been coming into the United States. And they're numbers that we need to help us take the country back and make it free again.
Well, you know, Larry, I think it's very, very important that you mention this labor history. And if people haven't read, for instance, well, there's lots of accounts, for instance, of the Ludlow coal strike and the massacre, but it's kind of all contained in Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States. There's a couple of documentaries and also a book that I was asked to write a little blurb on the back for about the Italian Hall massacre. That was up in northern Michigan in the Upper Peninsula the year before Ludlow. Where there was a strike. Mother Blair, a famous union organizer, had come in, and there was a Christmas party. One of the boss's goons yelled fire, and in the melee, there was something like 72 people were trampled to death in this panic. And when you start looking over the history of the last 125 years or so, the amount of death and injuries that that police forces, private guards, the National Guard have inflicted on common working people because we were trying to get our rights, trying to get a decent day's wage, trying to get shorter hours, trying to keep our kids out of factories, trying to have safe factories and what have you. The total, I don't know if anyone's ever done a total, but it's pretty high. It's right up there. 1938, the Republic Steel Strike. Again, workers on a picnic when the Chicago police open fire on them, and you have all these workers and children and women wounded with shots to the back. So we have a glorious history on one hand. We've brought the country to where it is and stopped the worst aspects of exploitation, but it's all still here. It's all still here. Thanks a lot, Larry. I appreciate your call. We'll be right back with Antonia Juhas. She is the author of a new book called The Bush Agenda. And we're going to talk about oil. That's next on The Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby.
This is The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. 4200.
Thanks a lot for the ride home. Hey, no problem. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
We'll be right back.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werby sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Well, thank you, Mike Malloy. You will be back tomorrow night. In the meantime, I got the mic here at Air America Radio Network. Joining me from Denver is Antonia Juhas. Antonia Juhas is the author of the brand new book, The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. Antonia, we've spoken a couple of times, so I can say welcome back. Good to talk to you.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be on the air.
And congratulations on your brand new book. I think I've talked to you two or three times before it's published, and I probably you're just a lot like me saying, I know it's going to come out. I know it's going to come out.
Well, sadly, the timing couldn't be more perfect. The Bush agenda is advancing aggressively through the economic and oil realm, even if it's failing in many of the others. And the book has sadly, in my mind, become even more timely than when I started working on it about a year ago.
Well, tell us a little about the oil industry and its profits. I mean, most of us, 90% of us probably, even Republicans, are saying, hey, we're getting ripped off. And then we read these ads that say, gee, their profit margin is way down the list, and they're not gouging anybody. As you see it, what is the story?
The story is they're definitely gouging, and the Bush administration is by far the industry's best ally, one of the main reasons being that there's very little distinction between the members of the Bush administration and the members of the oil industry. Quite simply, the administration has coddled the industry through subsidies, tax breaks, allowing tremendous consolidation and vertical integration in the industry, and allowing the industry to fix prices. And the simplest way of exposing this is to just look at the breakdown of the price of a dollar of gasoline at the pump.
Okay.
So we are led to believe that the oil companies have very little say in this, and that they are simply reflecting the increased price of a barrel of oil. Well, there is certainly an increase in the price of a barrel of oil. However, the price of a barrel of oil only accounts for about 47% of the full 47 cents of every dollar. 23 cents is federal and state taxes, and the remaining about 30% is determined through the cost of refining, marketing, and profit. Now, because the oil industry is so now vertically integrated, meaning the same companies control exploration, production, refining, marketing, and sales, they control that entire 30%. So the oil companies are deciding that they are going to pass that increase onto us and take as much as they can in profits, when, of course, the decision could be to reduce the price of pump at the price of gas at the pump.
Mm-hmm. Now they argue that I can't remember what one of the figures are, but they say they're making 8 cents on something or other, whereas like Google makes 20 cents. That they say that they're way down the line in terms of profit making. That banking and pharmaceuticals, all these other industries, make a lot higher percentage of profit.
It's unfortunately a numbers game, and the numbers that the industry uses, for example, in the public in defending their profits is very different than the numbers that the industry uses when they're talking to their shareholders about the success of the industry in that year. So I simply encourage your listeners to go to Chevron's website, go to Exxon's website, look at the figures that they share with their shareholders for their percentage of profit, and you'll see the real deal, a significantly higher percentage recorded as profit. And it's simply a game of how much they're turning over, what numbers they're looking at for refining costs, exploration costs, production costs, profit costs. And those numbers are different. And we all know through the Enron Arthur Andersen scandal that it's very difficult to trust the books, regardless of where we look. For
awesome.
That reason, many people are calling, and I am one of them, for dramatically increased regulation of the industry and a breaking down of the monopoly power of the industry, so that we have a better control over price, a better control of what the industry is doing.
Also, their gross sales are enormous. So even if they were making like a penny on it all, they would still probably be profitable.
And also, this is, in the end, a public resource. We're talking about the cost of the environmental costs of the oil sector, the human costs, for example, the cost of home heating determines whether people live or die. The cost of oil at the pump determines many entire sectors of the economy. The value that we place on, for example, investing money that is currently going to the oil industry into public transit or into clean energy fuels, this is not the same as toasters or internet search engines. This is a very vital public resource over which I would argue we're currently fighting for fighting wars and allowing our young men and women to die and kill on behalf of this resource. It shouldn't be measured, you know, in respect to apples and oranges.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Antonia Juhas. Her brand new book is called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. And you can go to thebushagenda.org, thebushagenda.org. There was an article in the London Observer said, just the headline's enough, new oil shock ahead as $100 spike looms. I know that it's pretty hard to make predictions, and I'm not trying to put you in a position of that big word, because we would all go out and buy oil stocks, I guess. But you think it's going to hit that kind of figure?
I think it certainly isn't wouldn't be a shock to see it go there. I think that there's two forces at work. One is that the oil industry, as I said, has become so consolidated. You know, if we can all remember back to the days when Exxon was separate from Mobil, when Chevron was separate from Texaco, was separate from Unocal, when Conoco was separate from Phillips, there used to be significantly greater diversity in which companies did the exploring, which did the production, which did the refining. Now it's the same companies, and you'll see, for example, that the largest oil companies, the five largest oil companies in the world, produce more oil every day than Saudi Arabia does. That they are controlling more and more and more of the supply of oil and the decisions over price and production, and therefore they're making decisions based on profit. I mean, it's quite simple, and I don't think they won't say it publicly, but they'll certainly say it to their stockholders. They're trying to increase their profits, and some of that decision is also how they reflect supply. So one of the things I talk a lot about in the Bush agenda is the acquiring greater access to Iraqi oil and the fact that currently production levels coming out of Iraq are not nearly as low as the myth of low supply out of Iraq would have us believe. Pre-war levels were 2.5 million barrels per day. We're currently and have been at about 2.2 million barrels per day. The myth of reduced supply helps make people feel like it's a time of war. We need to accept the higher oil prices. We need to do this as part of our patriotic duty, allow the prices to go up higher, when in fact that reduced supply is a myth. And I think that one of the things that the world has demonstrated is that demand has continued to grow even though price has grown, and therefore price will go up as long as demand goes up, and that we really are the ones who control our fate with oil in shifting our demand.
Well, of course, we as the consumer, particularly the 40 million people making below $30,000 a year in this country, they're the ones that suffer.
Right.
But everyone else who is on the producing and sales end of oil are making a fortune. And it's not just ExxonMobil. So it occurred to me, could part of this confrontation with Iran be, both on the part of the United States and Iran, done at least to some extent to drive up the price of oil? Because this, as you said, it's not based on supply. It's based on futures, the anticipation of what would happen if Iran cut off the oil supply, or what will happen if Nigeria goes into chaos and what have you. Iran is actually benefiting considerably from the rise in the price of crude oil.
Iran is, but I think that the companies in particular and also the governments tend to look more long term, and there certainly are spikes that happen because of wars, because of the reductions of supply. But ultimately, what is more important is actually ownership and control of the last remaining bits of oil on the planet. So I think while, for example, oil has gone up because of the Iraq war and the myth of reduced supply, the oil companies are very, very eager to have ownership of that oil.
But Hugo Chavez says that that actually it is Venezuela that has the largest oil deposits and enough for 200 years, and he wants to fix oil at $50 a barrel. His quote is, that's a fair price, not a high price. Now we'd love it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do not believe that Venezuela has the largest oil reserves in the world. I do think that Hugo Chavez has a very excellent populist position on oil. However, I actually don't think that the answer is cheap oil prices. There is a tremendous cost associated, obviously, with the exploration and production of oil, both social and political and environmental. Countries that are dependent on oil and are oil rich tend to have the greatest income inequality, the greatest histories of mass political and social uprising and dislocation.
Yikes. Yes. Antonia, here comes our music. We have no choice in the matter, and there's so much you have to say. And fortunately, it's contained in your brand-new book, The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. Best place to look for it is in your local bookstore or go to thebushagenda.org. Antonia Juhas, thanks for joining me on The Mike Malloy Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
I appreciate it. Peter Werby with you. We'll get your calls at 866-303-2270 when we come right back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Domestic policy? Then read Noam Chomsky's brilliant new book, Failed States. The New York Times calls Noam Chomsky a global phenomenon, perhaps the most widely read voice on foreign policy on the planet. Now, the best-selling author exposes our use of military force for what it is, a warning sign that America has become as dangerous as the failed states we claim we're trying to fix. Read Failed States by Noam Chomsky, new in hardcover from Metropolitan Books.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Hi, I just found out that I'm lactose intolerant, but I love chocolate milk. Can I still use Ovaltine?
You sure can. Just add rich chocolate Ovaltine to your lactose-free milk. Not only does Ovaltine make lactose-free milk taste better, it also makes it better for you. That's because rich chocolate Ovaltine has 16 vitamins and minerals. So turn lactose-free milk into delicious chocolate milk that's really nutritious with rich chocolate Ovaltine.
More Ovaltine, please!
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werbe sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Hey, sounds like B.B. King to me. Is that right, Jason? Oh.
All you congressmen, too.
Let it go.
You got me frustrated, and I don't know what to do. I'm trying to make a living. I can't save a cent. It takes all of my money just to eat and pay my rent. I got the blues. Got those inflation blues.
Hey. B.B. King with his guitar Lucille. He named it after, let me see, what was the deal? There was like a fight at a club where there was a kerosene lamp. That'll give you how down south it was. The kerosene lamp got knocked over, and it was either B.B. or one of the guys ran back in to save his guitar. Oh, and the fight was over a woman named Lucille. That's how that story got started. Now, there was a big hoorah about the Dubai Ports company owning U.S. ports. Well, now, and this, I'm sure, just went right below the radar, that this was in the New York Times business page, merger to create giant operator of toll roads. And, let me see, this is going to challenge my Spanish. Albertis Infraestructuras, Spain's largest toll road operator, said yesterday it had agreed to buy Autostrada of Italy for stock worth 12 billion euros. Anyway, governments in Europe and the United States are selling roads and airports as competition from banks and construction companies to buy them is increasing. The new company will operate 4,172 miles of highways in Europe and the United States, including the road connecting Milan and Naples and the Dulles Greenway Toll Road in Virginia, also London, Orlando, Florida, and Stockholm. So forget it, folks. We're going to be owned lock, stock, and barrel. Here's Sean in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Sean, hi. It's Peter Werbe. You're on the air on the Mike Malloy Show.
Yes. I was thinking about our issue with oil consumption. I think the only way to solve the problem would be to legislate conservation. I think if you don't own a vehicle that gets a combined mile per gallon rating at 20 miles per gallon, I think you should have to pay $100 a year tax assessment for every mile per gallon less than 20.
Sean, come on, be a little more adventurous. 20, why not 40, for Christ's sakes? I mean,
you gotta start somewhere, but I know there'd be all kinds of people saying, oh, people couldn't afford that, but that's a dollar a day, basically,
Well, we gotta give people a little bit of a warning, but we've been on the highway to hell for so long that we have to begin some policies that turn this all around. And I agree. I mean, listen, we have a crisis in the environment right now. We have a crisis in the kind of prices that so many people have to pay. So something has to be done immediately, obviously. But a lot of this stuff, since it's taken, I sound like one of these Republicans, it's taken a long time to dig ourselves into this hole. Mostly through the policies of the Republican Party, who are all oil people. Can you imagine we've got George Bush, oil man, Dick Cheney, oil man, Condoleezza Rice, oil woman. She had a damn tanker named after her, an oil tanker. Yeah.
Well, I think it's ridiculous.
Sure, excess profit tax as well. Hey, thanks a lot for calling. Here's Dick in Dayton, Ohio. Dick, hi, you're on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe with you.
Hey, Peter, how are you tonight?
I'm doing terrific, thanks.
Yeah, I just want to make I told your screener something I can never understand. This big business is great. You want your profit, but you don't want your loss. But I think this is my philosophy. Corporate America is taxing us to death. How in the heck can you keep building these home improvement and all these things when you work hard? It's just, I write the legislatures and things about this. It just makes no sense, Peter.
Well, Dick, it's very interesting that you put it like that, that these corporations are taxing us, because the conservatives are always talking about government taxing us. Well, supposedly, the model is government takes money from the commonwealth and then distributes it back to us in goods and services that we need that only government can provide. But really what it does is shift our wealth over to the already wealthy, war industries, stuff like that. We don't need that. Thanks, Dick. I appreciate it. Here's Mike in Miami. Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Peter?
It is me.
I want to ask you, how come people don't remember when Cheney had those secret meetings? He had about three or four of them before the prices went up.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
And I really believe, that all that BS that they're putting out, that we're at fault and all that, I really believe Cheney's behind all this stuff.
Well, do you think? I do. Thanks a lot.
Really
appreciate your call. Here's Robert in Miami. Robert, hi. You're on the air.
Yes. Yesterday, Energy Secretary Bodman, Bush's Energy Secretary, was on Meet the Press, and Russert asked why Bush broke a promise about the petroleum reserve that Bush made in 2000. And Bodman said, well, that promise was made 9 or 10 years ago. I wish you could get the audio for that. It's hilarious. The guy, and no one caught it.
Wow. That's amazing. All right, thanks a lot. Here's Marty in Sacramento. Marty, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
Let me try to get this out quick so you can get other people in. You know, you spoke about the immigration question. I mean, we already have an economy that can't provide a job for American citizens, and so now we're going to give amnesty to other undocumented. I mean,
wait a minute. What do you mean? There's low unemployment now. What do you mean, huh?
What do you think the real unemployment
Is? It's always been a lot higher. I mean, they don't count so-called discouraged workers. But,
right.
For instance, here in Michigan, which has one of the highest unemployment rates in the country, it doesn't have anything to do with immigrant workers. It has to do with these corporate CEOs that don't know how to run their corporations, and then the workers wind up paying the cost while they still continue to make their millions.
Oh, I disagree.
We'll have to talk about it another time because we are out of time. What a blast it's been as usual. I know you all love Mike Malloy, and I do too. I listen to him almost every night just like you guys do. But when he takes a day off or a week off, I'm glad to be here. So thanks for joining me. Thanks for calling. Thanks to the staff back in New York for Air America. And we'll talk again soon. I'm going to be listening to Mike tomorrow to hear his story of how he was an amazing hit at the impeachment forum. Have a great night.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org.
Who was the first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control? First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags? And who is working on future safety innovations like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.